And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, I want to share a common problem that many Christians face. A few weeks ago, I had a dream that reminded me of the importance of this. I hope that I can communicate it in such a way and that you and I can do better. Specifically, I'm talking about how we often see ourselves as insignificant, like bugs or grasshoppers. We think this in terms of how other people see us and how we see ourselves. If it can give us any comfort, we can know that our forefathers walked in the same silliness that we walk in when we do it. Next, in our society, we've become very fickle, always chasing the latest trends. Most of us who have been on this earth for more than 20 years have heard the expression, "You are what you eat." We've even heard, "Hey, you are what you feel." But the Bible says two statements: you are what you worship, and you are what you think. Uh-oh. And finally, here's a reality check. A great deal of our spiritual warfare takes place where? In the mind, between the left and right ear. Scripture makes it clear that the enemy tries to establish strongholds and fortresses in our thoughts. He drops in a lie, and if left unattended, it begins to build. And if we continue to leave it unattended, it becomes a house. And if we continue to leave that unattended, it becomes a fortress that must be cast down. Hey, here's a good one. It's clobbering time!
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I should be careful with that. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and noisy. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, before we tell you how to reach out to us, we want to give a shout-out to Brother Ace. So here is a guy. He's been with us for, it'll be 4.5 years we've done the show on Monday, okay?
Wow, Dave.
He's been with us over 4 years, okay? So that's a long time. Actually, he's been with us like 4 years and 4 months. It's like a long time. And here he knows we're up against a heartbreak, right? He calls, comes in, here it is, Dave, bam, bam, bam. So I'm going to ask you all to do me a favor, as just a favor for me in the Lord and for Dynamite D, just doing us a favor. We want you to lift up Brother Ace. We want you to pray that the Lord just blesses him, not just in ministry, but in life, and that he would have a touch and an empowerment of joy in the presence of the Lord.
Hey, Dave. I mean, Brother Ace, we love you, man. And you was up against the break, but we thank you for calling. We're always praying for you. It's something about Brother Ace's voice and his spirit, Dave, that just uplifts you, Dave.
He's just he's the real deal, and that's what just makes it simple. That's how it goes. So, Brother Ace, we love you, bro. Okay, so now we'll go back to the other stuff that I'm talking about. And I want you guys to do a prayer. I do a lot of praying. I want you guys to do the praying. I'm going to drop that on you guys. You don't just be able to get away with just an amen. You're going to have to do an oh me and pray. Okay? All right, good. All right, now, if you want to reach out to us, we think that's fantastic. A great way to do it is you can, in fact, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show live, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. And that's cool, too. We will make it work. I tell you, Dynamite D is excellent at making it work. He thinned that. I mean, that was like as thin of a
The guy up in the glory, Dave. Thank God for that.
That was a great, great job. So here's the bottom line. You can call and talk, and we can talk about different things. It's 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, before I tell you who you're going to talk to, let me say this. It can be for a prayer request. It can be for a praise report. It can be something on trivia. It can be something that's going on in your heart and mind. It's not a kvetch, but it is an opportunity to share and to connect and to have other people praying for you. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, now this is already in the till, so to speak, but it actually happened today. Talking to Dynamite D is like hearing a song that you haven't heard in such a long time, but when you hear it, it blesses you more today than when you first heard it.
I love when that happened, Dave.
I mean, it was so good. There was a Matthew Ward song I hadn't heard in 35 years, and it was in my little playlist I accidentally created.
Which, accidentally?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, sure. And that story is Matthew Ward doing Glory to God in the Highest, and I hadn't heard in so long, and man, I was so excited. And then DeGarmo and Key came on about Alleluia, you know, Christ is coming, and then I'm just screaming in the car driving. I think people were driving around me going, okie dokie, there's something wrong with that guy. I do it with my eyes open, but that doesn't mean I don't worship like crazy. All right, anyway, so if you want to reach out to us, you can do it that way. There's all these different things that we can do to strengthen and encourage one another. We also do trivia, and the reason we do trivia is to keep the Bible at the forefront of our hearts and minds. And one of the reasons we do that is because we need the help. It's just that simple. How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? Was he 86, 68, or 100 years old? How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? Ishmael was born. Ishmael. So you got Ishmael, you got Isaac. You got
what?
Ishmael,
that's not a tricky question, is it, Dave?
Not really.
Okay.
86 years old, 68 years old, or 100 years old when Ishmael, I don't know how many times you got to say this, Ishmael was, get that? Okay. I'm hoping everybody will pick up on that. See that? Ishmael. 86, 68, or 100 years old. Okay? All right. Somebody is calling in, so we're going to give them a chance. And we just want to make sure you understand that this is kind of the process. Yep, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Hey, not much. I was just talking to Dynamite D, and I felt like I'm talking to Bon Jovi.
That's
while
so
you
good.
Were sharing, I said, oh, Bon Jovi.
All right, bro. You got another trivia question. How old was Abraham?
Yes, 86.
86 years old! That's right, and 99 when Isaac was conceived, 100 when Isaac was born, and so you have to think of it in those terms. So you gotta like be aware. Hey, but when Ishmael was born, it was 13 years earlier. Hence, where they get the tradition that 13 years is somehow the time of manhood. We'll leave that there. Just move on. I understand we got there. I'm just saying that's kind of a unique thing. Anyway, how you doing?
Good. I'm keep praying, and I'm going to keep praying.
Okay. And you keep doing that. Don't you stop. Your persistency and your ministry in prayer is a part of what the Lord has dropped in your lap for you to do. And so, therefore, you do it until the Lord says you're done.
Yes.
Right?
I am.
Amen, yes. Brother. Good job.
All right. Well, be blessed, everybody.
All right. God bless you, bro.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. So, Ishmael, when Ishmael was born, see, that was the... See, I tried to...
See, that's why I said that it was a little tricky. So
okay, a little.
You're like, okay, 100, that was Isaac.
The other one. Right, right. But, so then 68, 86, yeah. I just, yeah. you know, okay. People should never get upset if you don't get it right. It's like, that's not, you know, you're not trying to, you know, right? Okay. Ishmael, when he was born. So, okay, got that. All right, great. All right, wait. Somebody is calling in. We might have to take another call because we like doing that. So hold on. And we are going to do our DNA. So we recognize that sometimes the Lord has other things in mind. I do think every once in a while, this hour and a half thing, we've been doing this for a little while, for a couple of years. Now this is getting too short. Okay, so somebody else wants to call in. Let's send them on through. Let's do it. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Curtis. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Listen, my brother, I wanted to let you know that I'm 61 years old, and next month I'm going to be baptized. I've never been baptized, so I'm excited about it. And I was just wondering if you could kind of explain, like, the significance of it, you know what I'm saying, David, and the purpose that we get baptized. I'm still a little cloudy on some of it. I've just, like I said, I'm not getting any younger, and I've my walk with Jesus is growing a little more and more every day, and like I said, I'm actually going to be baptized next month, first time ever.
Wow. First of all, congratulations, and that is awesome. Let me just say that to you.
Thank
okay.
You.
Now, do you want to hang on, or do you want to hang up and listen to what I have to say? Because I'll share kind of like from my heart, you know, without going too theological. I'll keep it pretty simplified. But you're welcome to hang on or hang up, either one that you're comfortable with.
Okay, I will hang up and listen, David, since I'm driving down the road. And thank you so much, my brother. I hope you have a very blessed day, you and Dynamite Dave.
Thank you. Appreciate you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So what a wonderful thing. So Kurt's going to be, he's getting baptized for the first time. And so, you know, there would be some people that say, well, he wasn't really saved. Well, that's ridiculous. Okay. But here's the thing. Getting baptized, first and foremost, is doing exactly what Jesus asked us to do. So the first and foremost thing that you are doing when you get baptized is obeying your Lord Jesus Christ. He is Savior and He is Lord. So He has saved you, right, from the penalty of sin, and now He's your Lord, your Master. And that's how it goes. And if the culture doesn't like it, too bad. Nobody cares. Their culture won't last. The Lordship of Jesus Christ will never end. So just remember those two things. Number two, baptism is a public proclamation of the inward faith that you have expressed before the Lord. In one passage, it says it's not the removal of the flesh from the body, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Nobody should think that they, well, I don't need to be baptized. Oh, wait, so you're a Christian and you don't need to obey Jesus? That's kind of bizarre. Number two, don't you want to make a public proclamation? You know how we talked about testify, testify? Do you know that people, listen to this, people get saved at baptism ceremonies. Did you know that? People go to baptism ceremonies as guests. They see what's going on and they go, wow. You think, well, that can't be many. Thousands upon thousands. Church records. That's all you got to do. Take the top 10 denominations, just ask them. They'll have them for you. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. It is a proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ. You're telling the world this. Ready? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto eternal life. Listen, I want you, you know what? I'm going to pull it up. You want to know why I'm going to pull it up? Because, I don't know, I just think like
David
I'm
is pulling out his book, everyone.
I got stuff all over. You're just going to have to wait a second here. It doesn't take me long. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You can't miss this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Let's stop right there. It is the power of God, not you, not me, not the way we say it, not the way we think about it. It, the gospel itself, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Curtis making his proclamation is him saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are out there and you're a Christian and you have never been baptized, get baptized. If you are out there and you've been baptized before and you want to get baptized again, watch this, get baptized again. You think God's, oh, I'm upset. They're getting it done twice. I've been baptized 5 times.
You're thinking, why?
That's between me and the Lord. All I'm saying is this. Get baptized. You're making a proclamation that you acknowledge Jesus Christ, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're in direct obedience to Jesus Christ. It's such a powerful testimony. Here's the other thing. For some people, not for everybody, for some people, the baptism opens up things that other people weren't ready for or prepared for prior, and then when they get baptized, they're just making that much more of a step of faith, of commitment, so to speak, and then the Holy Spirit is even more in operation. It's just awesome. Remember when Jesus got baptized? What happened? The Spirit of the living God fell upon him, already inside him, now upon him. Wow! That is so many. How could you not do it? Right? It's like saying, I want to be a Christian, but I don't really care about eternal life. It's like, what are you, crazy? It's like, don't you get to that? Curtis, congratulations. We are proud of you. We are blessed. We hope you take a picture and send it to us. We'll put it on the website. We think that's awesome. But you are making a declaration. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then I just had a friend, Rob. Remember, we talked about my friend Rob. And Rob asked me, because he was doing baptism. He'd never done it before. So let me say two things. Some people say, well, it's got to be by a registered minister. Baloney. That's just absolutely unscriptural. Jesus baptized, but the scripture says, although the disciples did the actual dunking. Just read the scripture. Jesus had people baptized, but he didn't do it. He had them do it. So that tells you one right away. Okay, all that other rubbish about who it's got to be, that it's one thing or another. And then the other part about this is this. Well, how do you baptize? So I tell people, this is what I'm doing. This is not what his church is going to do or anybody else, okay? This is what I do. I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by the authority of Jesus Christ. I ask the person if they publicly believe that Jesus Christ died on their cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, as the gospel is proclaimed in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3. And then I say, baptize you, and then you have them fold their hands over and pinch their nose. I don't know if they did that back then. They dunked them, so I think it was maybe a little more forceful. Now we're a little more, petite. But anyhow.
You got to cover the nose, though.
Yeah, you got to cover the Well, I do, because if I came back up out of there, it'd be half the water would be gone. But that's besides the point. Anyway, excellent job by our brother. We're very proud, very, very happy. We'll take our break, come back, then we'll do DNA when we get back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email
or not.
I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. Oh. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I want to take a moment just to address that last Phil. So that Phil is from the past. Most of you know they've since then had a baby, and that's Anna Banana. We call her Anna Banana. And she's turned one, so that's really a much older Phil. But I've asked Jennifer and Don to keep it in the rotation because it's inspirational. It's like these are people that, and my daughter is an absolute inspiration to me and to others. Even though they've gone through as much as they've gone through, she made a decision that in the early days that they were just going to raise a hallelujah. They were going to praise God no matter what was coming down the pike. And I think the Lord has honored and blessed them, and they've had a very effective ministry in our country since that time. And the truth is, then they have their fourth baby, and Anna Banana is hilarious. And apparently, she is of the seven grandkids. So I know it's older because what it says, and there's even a Phil that says, I have six grandkids, I have seven. And but she apparently is grandchild number seven, is the one with the most sass. So that just means that my mother is coming through.
I was about to say, who did she get that from, Dave?
It's got nothing to do with me. And so apparently when she does not get her way at 1 year old, she is able to express herself in excessively excellent manipulative ways. So I just don't have much to say about that. But anyway, I just want to share that. So you think, well, why is that still in there? Because it's inspirational. Even when I hear it, it blesses me about my own daughter, but it also blesses me that you face just – listen, we face stuff all the time. And I don't want our show to be thought of as, you know, we just focus on the negative. I think we have a pretty good dynamic that we believe that God totally helps us in every situation. But when we are in something that's tough, there is an attitude to be had that is something that the Lord desires. And that attitude has nothing to do with complaining, nothing to do with grumbling, nothing to do with murmuring. In fact, when the children of Israel complained, the ends of the camp were lit on fire. That's how God feels about that. You know how we always talk about, you know, say and talk unto the Lord? Well, in Malachi, you have one of the few times in Scripture where God says, you have wearied me with your words. Could you imagine God saying to you, you know, your words are getting old?
You know, you went way too far.
So Job is one, and we're, of course, getting into that as we're doing our teaching. But how do we, you know, weary you? By complaining. And it's just like, uh-oh. And I wish everything was perfect for everybody all the time. You think I'm kidding? It's more effort to pray because I know of how many needs are going on with other people that we have. It takes quite a bit of effort. It takes quite a bit of time, to be honest. And my desire is that everybody do fantastic in the Lord. But if you're not doing fantastic, where it's not a perfect situation, it doesn't give you a right to complain. You have not earned the entitlement to whine about it. I know. But Dave, okay, but 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just think, how many things is that?
everything. What's the will of God in it? That you be thankful. Not that you're super happy it's happening, but that you're super trusting that God will take the situation and bring out of it that which will glorify his name, that which will be a blessing to you because he promises it will be good. That's why. So you're actually giving thanks in faith. Thanksgiving can be a powerful hope and faith tool to walk the walk. Does that make sense? Okay. I don't know where that came from. Doesn't really matter. Does it? Nah, not to me either. All right, here's your next trivia question. If you guys don't get this, it's not tricky, but it's unique. That's all I want to say, unique.
Let's hear it, Dave. I don't know.
All right. Who eliminated Queen Jezebel? Was it Jehu, the Terminator, or Ahab? Who eliminated Queen Jezebel? Was it Jehu, the Terminator, or Ahab? There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. What? You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So who eliminated Queen Jezebel? Was it Jehu, the Terminator, or Ahab? That is the question. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA because we have to do DNA because I didn't do DNA and I want to do DNA, so we're doing DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I don't care what you get out of the show or don't get out of the show. That's the thing. Even the N and the A. The A, this D is the first thing. It's the most important. Why? Because everything flows from that. Everything good and right in the kingdom of God flows from your communion with the Lord. This is it. Draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And I promise, it's not even prophecy. I promise there's going to be an increase that people that believe the word of God are the hate people that they will try to lock up, persecute. I mean, it's what's going on around the world's coming around. Just be prepared for it. If the Lord comes before that, awesome. That's our plan. I mean, I would much rather hit the road. I'd much rather be moving upstairs, so to speak, looking down and then going, ha-ha, you know, I'd rather do that. I'm just being honest, than anything else. But if that tarries, we need to be steadfast in our commitment to the word. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. OPM. Other people matter, which is a nice way of saying if you're so focused on yourself and all your energy is on yourself, you will find that you are not in a place to receive the additional grace and mercy and kindness that God wants to pour out on you for you pouring that out on other people. Think of it this way. Now, this is not an exact biblical, but it's a great thought process. Let's say the Lord wants to bless you with 10 things. And then, though, if you bless other people, he blesses you with 2 more every time you bless somebody else. Okay? You can live just getting the 10 blessings, or you can live getting 30, 40, or 50 blessings by blessing other people. It's just like, okay. I mean, it's just math, but it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It really does, doesn't it? All right. We are nowhere near able to do anything that Dave planned on. I kind of wish sometimes God would say, not today, Dave.
It's kind of funny, Dave. Like, it's as usual, but that's not true because sometimes we go this way.
Yeah,
plan,
it's
but,
just,
you know,
I have no idea what's coming up, just so you guys can know, but we'll find out. In answer to the trivia question, here we go. Who eliminated Queen Jezebel? Was it Jehu, the Terminator, or Ahab? And the answer is Jehu, the Terminator was Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll give Al credit because he's saying, well, ultimately God did. Yes, that is correct. But it was Jehu who did it. And for those that got that right, really good job. That was a tougher question. The next one won't be as hard. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, our amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11, all the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. What was the reason for selling Joseph by his brothers? What was the reason they sold him? Was it prophecy, jealousy, or boredom? Prophecy, jealousy, or boredom? Hey, we're bored. Hey, you want to do something different? What's that? Let's sell him. Okay. Which one? All right. What was the reason for selling Joseph by his brothers? Prophecy, jealousy, or boredom? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. I could probably say that faster, but it's probably not a good idea. 972-445-0770. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. And just remind you, there's cool stuff up there. Don't forget that. Check it out. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatoto. Mechanicho.
Okay, that's what's going on in my brain.
Really?
What was the reason for selling Joseph by his brothers? Was it prophecy, jealousy, or boredom? That's the question. Okay, just going to keep that on there. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. You better get ready because we might not even take a break. I'm just telling you right now because I just have such a desire to teach some of this. I can't escape it. Okay, let's just talk about a couple of things real quickly. All right, I just want to talk about the process that we go through as Christians, understanding that there's a lot going on the ups and downs. Two things I want to bring up. I'm going to read a couple of passages pretty fast. If you can't keep up, you can always go to the podcast and make sure I'm reading the right thing. 2 Kings 17:15 says, they rejected his decrees and the covenant he made with their ancestors and statutes that he warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. Okay? What does that mean? That means that people are what they worship. We've talked about this before. This isn't a new message. All the material we have is 2,000 years old or older. But people become what they worship in a certain sense. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them not to, saying, do not do as they do. But it says they followed worthless idols as they themselves became worthless. The way that people process in the brain has a big part of what to do and what we are. That's just the truth. Proverbs chapter 23:7, as he thinks within himself, so is he. Or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is a correlation between what we allow to hang out in the left and right hemisphere of our brain and what we become. That is why the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do you seek? Colossians 3:1-2 says you set your mind on it and you set your heart on it. You set your thinking process, your logic on it, and you set your emotions on it. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God. So in the brain, in the mind, I know people don't like that, and they don't like using that terminology. Too bad. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's your warfare with Satan is not in your kneecap. I know you want it to be, because then you can just do something about it. It's like, it's not how it works. How it works is he's attaching in other places. And you think, well, what do you mean he's attaching in other places? I'm not the one that wrote this. I mean, I'm saying that in the nicest way, but I just want to, you know, go over a couple scriptures that maybe will make it clear. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and you know this well. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Sergio had called and asked us a question a while back about that process in the mind. When you're praying, well, how does that distraction takes place? When you're reading your Bible, have you ever noticed that your mind can wander real quickly? Doesn't wander as quickly when you're, you know, watching your favorite TV show. But boy, read the Bible. And what's really funny, I'm just going to say this, is a show that is not really pro-Christian. They're like, yeah, read the Bible. It's boring. It's like, yeah, because they can't follow it. They can't follow the process. Here's what happens, right? I just want to make sure you follow what I'm going to say. What the enemy does, and he's not, I mean, I'm saying this in a nice way. The enemy, what he does is he establishes his operations through lies. We've talked about this ad nauseum. John chapter 8, Satan is the father of lies. Okay, got it. He's the father of lies. Not just liar, he's the father of lies. If there's a lie going on, Satan is not far behind, right? That's the way to think of it. When he drops a lie in your system, was that in my heart or in my mind? I don't care. When he drops a lie in you and it goes unattended, it begins to build. So think of it in a construction format. My dad used to do construction, okay? First thing he does, drops in a lie. Nothing happens. Oh, you let the foundation go. Okay. Then upon the lie, that foundation, what happens? There's a little bit of building that takes place, some wiring, some plumbing, different things. I mean, the plans have already been set. The blueprint's done. He's been doing this for thousands of years against people. He's not an idiot about it. And then you leave that alone, and guess what? They start framing it, and they start putting, you know, then they start putting drywall up. And I'm just whipping through it so you can understand the process. This is what happens when we let a lie sit into our mind and don't attend to it. It grows. And what happens after a little while? Well, it goes from a lie, which in one sense could be like a rock or could be like a pebble, into like a doghouse. And then if it doesn't get checked, then the doghouse becomes an apartment. Then the apartment becomes a house. And if it's left unchecked, the house becomes a fortress. And that's why we have to cast down strongholds, things that are in our minds that are built up that we haven't attended to and that the enemy is using against us. That's just the truth. There's nothing bizarre about that at all. 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear blessed by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. So Paul's concerned that the people at the church at Corinth, that their minds, their brains, their thinking would be corrupted from the simplicity. In other translations, it says the devotion to Christ. Because the lie steps in, it's unattended, it grows and grows. I mean, you could say it in this way, and I'm not any medical anything, but it's like an infection. If you got an infection, it's small, it's little, you got to take care of it. And if you don't do that, what happens to the infection? It grows. And what happens if it stays unattended? It keeps growing. And how much does it keep growing? It grows until it cripples you. Well, that's what a lie does. And that's what the enemy is using. And the common lies, and we've talked about this, you know, it's the worthiness, the faithfulness. We don't really talk about some of the other lies, like you're not going to be able to pay rent, you're not going to be able to pay mortgage, you can't pay your house payment, nobody cares about you, if you die, nobody's going to your funeral. How about all that stuff? How about all this stuff? I'm getting older. I don't feel as attractive. I'm not the same. It's the same. You think it's just the same stuff. He's using the same rubbish he's been using for thousands of years. I never have a problem. He's been doing this for at least 6,000 years. At least 6,000 years on people. You got a little bit of history. You do something for 30, 40 years. I don't know about you guys, but I've been driving for, you know, well over 40 years. Hey, guess what? I know how to drive even when I'm not driving. It's kind of like weird. Can I imagine doing that for 6,000 years? You know the system. You know how it's wired. No, he's not omniscient. Nobody's saying that. You're not following. You got to follow. And he doesn't want you to follow, so be aware of that right now. He wants to drop a lie in your system and just have you leave it there and nothing happens. And then it just digs in and kind of develops a foundation, then grows. And then it develops and grows and grows and grows until it becomes a part of your thought process. Uh-oh.
Dave.
Now watch. This is why it says we have to bring every thought into captive obedience to Christ, because a lot of those thoughts are built off lies. Ow. So, I mean, this is not rocket science. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is it you got it? What do you use to defeat a lie? What do you use to defeat a lie? You use the truth, right? What do you do to put out a fire? You throw water on it, right? You see what I'm saying? I'm just using a basic principle. So we need to have an operation of the truth. We need the truth to be firmly established. And some of you, you've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and for whatever reason, you've allowed unattended lies to take advantage of you and create doubt. I don't know how you can't get away from that. You know, I spend an inordinate amount of time in the Word of God. I mean, you'd think something's wrong with me, which there is something wrong with me. That's besides the point. But I'm aware that when I'm in the Word of God, I'm aware of those distractions. You go, is that happen to you? Of course it does. It probably happens to me more because I'm doing a lot. And so I'm not saying that I'm more righteous. I'm saying it happens a lot because there's opportunity for it to happen a lot. And I'll be sitting there. I'll be reading the word. And we had something go on the other day. And I'm sitting there. I'm in the word. And I'm just, I mean, I'm so getting into this Luke study. I don't even want to get into it. It's just really cool. It's just really, really cool. Because Luke's really, I mean, you know, it's just great, great. So I'm into it and getting into it. And then this thought comes in about the car and the insurance. And
Dave, here's the thing with that, that I think is so important. I'm so glad that you're talking about this public, because a lot of times when people are battling private, Dave, they feel like they're the weird one. I'm the only one dealing with this. Whatever the enemy's trying to put on you, you think you're alone. It's like, no, we're all battling some aspect from a mental and spiritual perspective.
That is exactly what the scripture says when it says that not only should this not surprise you, but in Peter it says that other brothers and sisters are going through this throughout the world. It's like, this isn't new. And you think, well, what do you do to fight? Well, obviously you use the truth to fight a lie. And yes, it does require some discipline.
What?
Yeah, no, it requires discipline. It means instead of spending 5 hours watching television, you spend 4 hours watching television, and maybe you bump in another hour of spiritual stuff. That's what it means. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's forcing you. In fact, I always find that funny. It's like, well, you know, I don't have the time. It's amazing when they say that, because how fast you can find the time on the things that are so important. It's like so funny. But anyway, that being said, I don't want to get stuck there. I want you to get this. It doesn't matter if you're a young Christian or an old Christian. If a lie comes into your system in whatever way, shape, or form, and you don't deal with it, it festers and grows, and it becomes a problem. And that distraction you go through when you're praying or reading, that doesn't mean you're a sinner. Well, you're much more of a sinner because that's happening. No, it probably means that you're probably right on track. Otherwise, Satan wouldn't try to distract you. So, I mean, it's just like, you got to get these things practical. In fact, when the Lord disciplines you, people are like, the Lord disciplined me, I'm super sad. You should be super happy. Why? Because if he disciplines you, he cares about you, you're connected to him, and you're doing something right. If you're not disciplined, that's when you should concern. That's when you should be like, uh-oh, something's not right. Because God disciplines his kids. So just like think of it in these terms and think, see what the enemy does? He just tries to flip everything, change it, make it different. And the truth of the matter is, of all the things that you can come up with and all the things that you can tell me, and I love you guys know that, but it's like of all this stuff, there is truth that you need to stand in. And some of you vacillate on whether you're in or out of the kingdom of God. You're not even sure you're saved sometimes, right? Now, hey, you'll hate this. But in fact, the scripture is quite clear. And when you do that, you know what you're turning into? A non-Bible believer.
Wow.
Like, what? What do you mean I'm a non-Bible believer? I've been a Christian for 35, 40 years. Uh-huh. Here's what it says. Ready? Okay. I'm just going to say this. Ready? All right. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay. No argument. Nobody's. All right. Wages of sin is death. Nobody's arguing. Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yep, no, again, no argument. God showed his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Got it. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you question whether you're saved or not, you are not being a Bible believer. You can tell me, you believe Jesus rose from the dead. You just believe you've messed up so much. And so when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, that's you. And I do like the other translations where it says, God showed his love to the world by giving his only son. I mean, I like that. But that's just a personal preference. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is Satan wants to use everything and anything he can against you because he doesn't like you.
Dave, and he doesn't play fair.
Oh, all's fair in love and war, right? I mean, everything, right? He's not interested in playing by, well, that's not the rules. You and I have no idea what the rules are. Here's what you need to do. You need to fight with the truth. And depending on what the issue is, you apply the truth to that issue. You think, well, what are you trying to say to me? Well, for those that are not getting the I'm a child of God thing, 1 John 3:1-2, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But three times in this text, John's like going, you're a child of God, you're a child of God, you're a child of God. How many times you got to say it? You're a child of God. But Satan comes in and goes, are you really saved? That's the lie. And so what is the biggest problem that we're having? I'm just going to be honest, okay? Don't get mad at me. We're going down this. Might as well just go down the road with me. Hebrews 4, 1 through 2. This is the single biggest problem that Christians have. I know what you're thinking. This one I'll let you turn to because you should turn to it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. And the idea that I get is that we might prevail in 85, 90, 95% of the things, but there's a couple things that we've ceded or yielded in. And it's like, what? We're not supposed to yield in anything that's false. That's not how that goes, right? All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, referring to the children of Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard. The problem is that we hear the truth and we don't mix it with faith. And it has no application. Guess what God has required for us to use the truth? Faith. You know how you have to have water and dirt to make mud? Okay, let me just use this. Well, you got to have truth and you got to have faith to make it work. And what we've done is we read the Bible and, you know, we know it's true, but we often either think, well, it doesn't apply to us, or I don't know, and whatever that doubt is, it's the very same thing that Jesus rebuked in all of his disciples their entire time they were disciples. He would do something, and they would be like, oh, and Jesus would go, it's me, don't be afraid, it's me, don't be afraid. And then the one situation, why are you afraid? Why did you doubt? Why? Because doubt is the destroyer, and Satan uses it all the time. It's really just faith in the wrong direction, doubt. And so it's a matter of us taking the truth, applying faith with it, being, you know what? Bible believers. Did you commit a sin that you're ashamed of? Did you do something you really, you know what? I'm super ashamed of this. And you come before the Lord, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. If faithful means reliable, and just means true to his word. So when you confess that sin, God forgave you. And yet we bring it up again and again and again. And we're Bible believers? Wow, maybe not. In that issue, maybe not in that moment at that stretch. And I'm not trying to jump on anybody. I'm literally trying to tell you we're Bible believers in 95% of things. But the things that we let go, you're not being a Bible believer. You did something wrong? Confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you. He will. He's faithful. He's true. You ask for wisdom. You don't get the answer you want. You know what? And then we think, well, I don't deserve it, or I just can't hear. That you're just not being a Bible believer. In fact, the Bible says, if you ask in doubt, don't think that you'll receive anything from God.
And it's funny, Dave, that that's the area that Satan attacks you in.
It's amazing. You just think about how he just cracks that door open. Either it has to do with your value, this, whatever it is. Listen, let me say something. Jesus is called the Word of God. And you have to have faith in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ. And you have to mix with faith the written Word of God because you know the Rhema, living Word of God, and you need to stand firm. How do you submit yourself, therefore, to God? Yield to His truth, mixing it with faith, and resist the enemy, which means to keep from giving in. And he's going to keep, he's going to keep hammering you and hammering you and hammering you. And it's like, you think, well, I just tell him to flee, and he does, and he goes away. He does. And then he comes back.
Right back.
Right? He tempted Jesus, right? And then he tried to tempt him again by killing him. It doesn't stop. So it's just like, until the trumpet blows, you fight, fight, fight. You stand firm in the truth. You don't let Satan get a foothold in you. And if you do something wrong, you confess it, and you believe God is faithful enough to his word that he will forgive you. And if you're just not in a place where you think, I just don't have enough faith to get it going, then do exactly what that guy did when he was with Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief. Say that exact same thing. Because Satan will take advantage of you if you don't. That's why. He doesn't have anything else.
Nothing else, Dave.
He can't leave. The Satanists are so silly. Satan can't even leave Earth. You guys know that, right? He can't depart. Oh, our guy's going to win. He can't even get off the planet. What are you talking about? You getting it? By the way, just in case you were wondering, it was out of jealousy. Trivia question for the reason they sold Joseph. It wasn't out of boredom. It wasn't out of prophecy. It was out of jealousy. Just making sure we get that in before I exit. Don't let the lie of Satan's yuck about you hurt you the way that you have been. Your feelings are not invalid, but they cannot run the train of your life. They are simply a car on the train. The truth is the front. Run everything behind the truth. And I'm just assuming that you're going to mix it with faith so it will do something. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, Dave.
I hope so. All right. I don't know. That's what we did. We went with it. Who knows? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.